Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to ask the question this week, what time is it? Trying to reflect a little bit on what we're facing, the trial that the church is enduring at this time, the spiritual battle that's in. And if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program so far this week, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can just listen to them right there on the computer or download them on whatever device you like to listen to them at your convenience. I encourage you also to just browse the website. There's some very good stuff there, I think, that will encourage you as well in these times. It's free. A lot of it's free. You know, our TV shows, Choices We Face, Crossing the Goal, Sister Ann Chiel's wonderful radio program, Food for the Journey. A letter Ralph Martin wrote about the moment we're living in following the revelations of Archbishop McCarrick's situation. A letter that I wrote about the times we're living in. And times of like this, which the Catechism, as I mentioned yesterday, on paragraph 672, I was just reflecting on that paragraph. I've been working through a few paragraphs from the Catechism that shed light on how the church understands in the big picture the times we're living in. You know, this is the time of the scripture describes, and the Catechism echoing the scripture in paragraph 670 says, reminds us that we're living in the last hour of human history. Really, the final chapter, the final age of the world has begun in Jesus Christ taking his seat at the right hand of the Father, and his kingdom has now been established, and his reign has begun. And the great King, Jesus, who's been given all power and authority over human history and over the cosmos, over everything in God's creation, he is bringing it all in order under the Father, ultimately, is what he's going to do. He's come to break the rebellion of the human race, to break the rebellion of Satan and his kingdom. The final victory over Satan is assured. Jesus has broken his power over the human race. When Jesus comes again, the Catechism will remind us, upon Jesus' return in that final battle that the church will be engaged in, the return of Jesus will bring about the final and total defeat of Satan and the complete establishing of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is going to do it because the Father has sent him to do it. Jesus has come to, in some way, friends, think about it this way, in battle terms, to destroy the rebellion that was released through Satan's and Lucifer's disobedience and his rebellion. A lot of people don't think about or don't want to think about that today. They don't like to talk about the devil. They think it's probably a myth, whatever. It's real. It's totally real. And we're living in a battlefield, and Jesus told us it would be that way. I mean, he made it so clear what it would be like for his followers that we would undergo and experience much of what the master himself experienced. He said, the servant's not greater than the master. So in this last hour, the Catechism reminds us what Jesus said about it. This is how I ended yesterday. Jesus said, the present time is the time of the Spirit and of witness. The Spirit has gone out. The Spirit is sent on mission. The Spirit animates the church. The church is fundamentally missionary. The Spirit has been given for holiness and mission, for union with God, love of neighbor, and the passion to make disciples of all nations. But this time, this is where I ended the important part of the program yesterday, I think. This time, it's important for us to understand the Catechism tells us in paragraph 672, is a time marked by distress. It's the trial of evil and the church's battle with evil that causes the stress that we're living in. The Catechism says this trial does not spare the church, but it ushers in the struggles of the last days. It is a time of waiting and of watching. Remember the exhortations of Peter and Paul, be alert, be sober, be awake. Never forget your adversary prowls around like a lion, seeking someone to devour. He's a murderer. He's a liar. What he's after is the only gold that's worth possessing on this earth is eternal souls, human beings, those who bear the image of God. Everything else in this world is going to pass away. All the gold of Fort Knox is going to pass away. Hollywood's going to pass away. Wall Street's going to pass away. It's all going away. But what will be left and what will never completely pass away is eternal creatures, those who bear the image and likeness of God. And they're going to go to one of two destinies, heaven or hell. And the kingdoms, the kingdom of Christ and why he came, was to capture, to bring back, to redeem human beings that were enslaved to the kingdom of darkness. And that's everybody, apart from the grace of Christ. And the devil continues, and in God's plan, the mystery of God's plan, evil has not yet been completely destroyed. And it can be present even in the church when baptized people say yes to sin. I mean, I know this in my own life. I know this. I was baptized as a baby. I went through periods in my life where I was living in rebellion, where I said yes to sin. And when we say yes to sin, we give the devil the freedom to bind us, to enslave us. And that can happen if you're a lay person. It can happen to a cardinal in the Catholic Church. And the devil's a deceiver. He's a liar. And he seeks to deceive us. It's interesting. The Catechism says here, and this trial with evil will usher in the struggles of the last days. Listen to just one text from 2 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul describes and he characterizes what's going to happen in the last days. He said, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress. So we've been forewarned. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderous, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people, the Bible says here. For among them are those who make their way into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and swayed by various impulses, who will listen to anybody and can never arrive at a knowledge of the truth. They oppose the truth. They corrupt the mind. They carry counterfeit faith. So this is the kind of trial Paul is seeing, something about what the last days will be like. And I think the scripture is pretty clear in the Catechism. As the day of the Lord's return approaches, the intensity of the devil's attack on the church is going to increase. There will be, as scripture says, as Jesus said, there will be a great apostasy. Large numbers of people in the church are going to be seduced by Satan, then they're going to be swept away because of the intensification of the spiritual battle that's unfolding. Now, lots of people ask today, are we living in that very hour? Like, is the Lord about to return? No one knows. I don't know. The Lord gives us signs. There's some of the amazing signs that are described in the scripture that are going to precede the Lord's return, like the Jews returning to the state of Israel, the gospel going to the nations, to the whole world, the gospel going out. There's a whole variety of things, and a great apostasy. I mean, in some ways, you know, the recent popes have described the collapse of the faith in Europe as a European apostasy. Pope Benedict talked about a dictatorship of relativism, where the Western mind and many in the church have suppressed the truth about God and have bought a lie that there is no ultimate truth. There are no ultimate commandments that everyone needs to submit to. There's a deep resistance. We'll look at that hopefully by Friday in Psalm 2. You can see so prophetically revealed in that kingly messianic psalm kind of what's happening in the world itself is in distress. As you know, as I've talked about many times on the program, that the recent popes have talked a great deal about the times we're living in. Pope John Paul II spoke in apocalyptic terms. You know, says we're now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. He said, I do not think that wide circles of the American society or the whole wide circle of the Christian community realize this fully. We're now facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. The confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it must be a trial which the church must take up and face courageously. He said that just before he became pope. He was Cardinal Wojtyła at the time. He said, be not afraid. Be not afraid. You notice he said, this lies within the plans of divine providence. I've said many, many times in the program, Pope Benedict's line said that faith is in danger today of dying out around the world in many places. He said, what's going on is that humanity is pushing God from the human horizon. Jesus came to establish the kingdom, to reveal the plan of the Father, to establish a church that would be a light bearer, that would be a bearer of the truth that's revealed in Christ about God and about God's economy and plan and purpose for every single human being. And the world rages against it. And human beings in the church and out of the church are tempted to rebel against it. And some of us fall, and some of us keep saying yes in the fall, and we can become literally enslaved by the work of the enemy. That's part of what we're seeing today. Sister Lucia from Fatima wrote a letter to John Paul II, told him, Our Lady said this, that the final battle between the Lord and the reign of Satan will be about marriage and the family. Don't be afraid, because anyone who operates for the sanctity of marriage and family will always be contended and opposed in every way, because this is the decisive issue. However, Our Lady has already crushed the head of the serpent. God's permitting a great trial to come to the church. He's pruning the church. He's disciplining the church. He's exposing our sin and corruption. He's testing those who hear about it. Where's their faith? Is it in men or is it in Christ? Are we going to leave Christ? Are we going to leave Jesus because Judas is in the 12? What's the strength? What's the rock we're standing on? What we've been hearing about, I think what we're going to continue to hear, what's going to get revealed, the Lord's permitting it. It produces scandal to lots of people. There's a certain mystery in that for me. But God's permitting it. He's permitting it because he's coming to break strongholds of sin and bondage in the church that are crippling her mission. Remember what I was saying the first 2 days of the week. It's very clear why the church exists. This is the time of the Spirit and of witness, a time she's meant to be waiting and watching. Well, when we fall into deep habit patterns of sin, we're not listening to the Spirit. We're not engaged in the mission of the church. It's deeply crippled. The gospel gets compromised because of our lack of clarity and conviction and prophetic power in the Lord. And it's clear that we're not waiting and watching. So the loving Father that God is, he comes to discipline us, as Hebrews chapter 12 talks about. And that discipline's not pleasurable. It's painful for a time, but it leads us to share in his holiness, is what he said. Let's talk about this again tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.